Good morning, Robert. Sure, you're not. Maybe try exiting and re-entering the meeting. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, David. How are you?
Man, getting by. Kind of wondering how much I'm supposed to, and maybe James, you're probably wondering too, how much we're supposed to be preparing for this one.
Well. In this situation, you're in good company. I'm also unprepared. so,
Oh no, I'm talking about the storm. Sorry.
what's happening down in Florida? I don't keep up
Oh,
on the
no, I'm
news.
in North Carolina,
North
actually.
Carolina.
Yeah, I work remotely, and we're supposed to be getting we're very much borderline between getting a nice snow and getting freezing rain. And freezing rain's bad because all of our trees up here are damaged after Helene. So, it's going to be widespread. Power lines go down. They don't get back up for a while.
Oh man, I'm sorry. This is kind of like an annual thing, I feel, though, right? That every year or every 2 years you guys deal with something similar.
I don't, I mean, they get some snow up here in Asheville every now and then, but ice storms are a little,
Little different.
yeah.
Yeah. That's our annual benefit of living in the inland Northwest is fire season. And so,
Oh.
yeah, whether it's Canada and you have the wave of smoke or you're 108 degree week and it's just blazing hot and fires all around. But you live where you live. That's how I tell people in this area, you're allowed to complain about snow or you can complain about smoke, but you can't complain about
Yeah.
both, right? Because
Right.
the snow prevents the other. So, but in any case, everywhere, no matter where you live, I suppose there's always those little
Yeah,
benefits that you get.
there's no genuinely safe place, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. I don't have any updates this morning for from Product Council. It looks like our liaison is absent from among us today, and that's okay. I did want to give everybody an update, and I think that this has a bigger impact on public libraries and academic libraries, is that the declared loss processing in Folio is functional, but looking to be enhanced by the product owner for that fee fines module. So I was in a meeting last week where that was being discussed, and I brought some of the concerns for public libraries there. But next month, I was hoping to put an agenda together to skip on the Moscow document and actually discuss with with you guys what your institution does for declared lost item handling, as well as more importantly, how you handle the fees and fines on patrons' account. for discovery and stuff like that. So in terms of getting ready for a storm, I can't help you with that, but I'm hopeful that you guys can come with some of your perspective and experience with respect to fees and fines and declared lost items in folio or in your library for next month. So anybody have any opposition to me throwing that on the agenda? I want to bring more perspective to the folio community than just mine. And so you guys will be extremely helpful for that.
Yeah, I have no issue with it. I'm not fully prepared to even get into that document anyways, as I've noted that we're in the middle of our Aspen implementation.
Right.
And so that's pretty all consuming. And I hope it maybe as we get past the first couple of weeks of February, I'm going to spend a lot more time reviewing functional requirements for an
Beautiful.
iOS.
Beautiful. Are you guys close to completing the Aspen
Yeah,
implementation?
we're just doing a month of user testing.
Oh,
So
wow.
we've put it out there with a we've put links up in notifications up in the top of the website in the current catalog to the new system, and then there's a link in the banner on Aspen to a very brief like 3-question survey seeking feedback. So we got staff testing it really thoroughly. We're getting patron feedback, and our planned go live is the 10th of February.
Okay.
We're and we're just we are going to redirect everything from the online our current OPAC, and we're not going to do a classic catalog or anything. We're just, cold turkey.
Yep.
Pulling
Pulling the
That's
mandate.
definitely the way to do it.
Yeah. For sure.
And
Okay.
it's going well. I mean, and Grove is just like probably one of the most responsive vendors I think I've probably ever worked with. But I mean, at the same time, it's such a low bar, vendors, but Grove is great.
That's the consequence of being a public library is that we are a very niche market. And
Yeah.
so, I think vendors might know that. Well, without further ado, some other good news. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen when I can remember how to do that.
Before we move on,
Yes, sir.
so when I'd like to know more specifically what you're after with how we handle fines and fees and reported lost items. Just like, can you give me a scenario, like the scenario that you have at Spokane, so that I can figure out how to pattern our
Sure.
scenario.
Sure. So, customer has this item checked out. They come in, say, "Hey, I noticed that I owe 20 bucks for this. But I returned it. I swear up and down." Right? So we mark it
So we're
as
talking about a
to
claims return process.
you got it. You got it. But more
Okay.
importantly, how do you handle the fees and fines with that claim return process? So we say, give the benefit of the doubt. We declare this item is claimed returned. And then what Folio does is it suspends those fines on the patron account. And so by suspending, they can still see them in the OPAC. So this is important information. They can see them in the OPAC. They recognize that there's still a problem that needs to be resolved, but they can't pay for them. They can't pay those fines in the OPAC while they're suspended. And then our internal process is to that gets added to our trace list, and we attempt to find that item within our 14 branches. And if we can't find it within a year, then we resolve that and mark it as back to overdue. And so we put it back on the patron and say, "You are responsible for this. We did our best to try and find it. Now you have to try and find it in your house instead of in our house." And then if the customer comes in and swears up and down again, then we put it back into claimed return status and rinse and repeat. But one of the important things that Spokane does that's a little different, might be different, I don't know, is for our patrons, after X amount of years of account inactivity, we will assume that device is lost forever, or that book is lost forever, and then we close or cancel the fee fine and to get it off of our books. And so that piece is what's important, because the change in fee fines doesn't assume that the library is going to close those fee fines ever. And so that's what I'm representing back. And I go, well, for Spokane, what you're proposing isn't going to work. And I'll get some public library feedback on their processing. So those are the kind of scenarios that I'm looking for, is what do you do with the monies owed in those
Gotcha.
situations?
And also in your case, how does it work in the schools?
So similar process. We don't purge or close those fee fines when it's school material. So we follow the school's lost item policy, which is the school has federal funds that they can use to offset those costs. And unlike an academic institution, the student still gets to graduate if they owe those fee fines, right? And so one of the pieces that Spokane is working on for parent enablement is integrating with the integrating Folio with the patron or the parent portal for fee fines owed. So right now, if a student owes for a book, they pay through the library, the Spokane Public Library's payment system. What we're working to do is integrate the fee fines from Folio into that payment portal that the parent sees, so that they can see, oh, looks like little Johnny owes $20 for this item, and they can pay for it through their payment processing, and then it'll connect back to Folio. Because I know Nashville has a very intimate relationship with their local school districts as well. Is that how you guys do it? Something similar?
I would say that we do a lot more of the stuff. So like on the school side, generally, this is not true at every school, but generally the approach is, hey, at the very least the book was in a kid's hands. We offer programs that are like reading fines off, reading fees off.
Oh.
Through the year. And so, that obliterates those, and we still obliterate them. Is, basically we end up deleting the items to make them go away, to make everything disappear from the books. But that's also a hack.
Right.
And so, a better way to do that would be appreciated. I'm actually kind of, I mean, with the stick of not being able to graduate, my assumption would be that, like, the academics have somebody for 2, maybe 6 years, that you would end up with a bunch of just accumulated debt on the books that doesn't actually exist, or
Right.
that is never ever going to be claimed. And so the academics, in my mind, would be the pressure to make a process that audits it correctly and offers the way to get rid of it. So I'm kind of surprised that it would have to be on the public side pushing this. But yes,
So,
ultimately, the what you were describing would make our auditors a lot happier.
right. I bet they would. And that's why, the pressure is on us to, in our department, when it comes to purging those, we call it the purge. When we go to purge those fees and fines and move those items into withdrawn status, is everything has to be thoroughly audited, because when the state comes in and said, oh, look, your tangible asset holdings was, $10 million last year, and now it's nine. What happened to, what happened to all of these? And there's lots of stipulations and rules about who's eligible for the purge, but we have to have all that really well documented. And from the academic side, they have an out with dealing with fees and fines, in that in Folio, you can what they call a transfer account for fees and fines. So you have this item, You've declared it lost or claimed returned, or maybe it's overdue, whatever. And you can do what's called a transfer account for the fees and fines. And so they transfer that to the bursar. And then, yeah, and then it marks the item as lost and paid because
Yep,
it
and that's
is.
exactly the way that Carl works.
Gotcha. And so that, like you said, is a hack. And that is actually how we're looking to implement that purge system is this customer has been inactive for 6 years. They owe less than $70. We're just going to do a transfer account for this year exactly. Cut clean turkey, cold turkey, and then call it good. And then we'll have that transfer accounts that we can reference in perpetuity as this is what was purged or pruned in 2026, right?
Gotcha. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that is the way our ILS handles it. And we do hacks that are different than that in some cases as well.
Gotcha. So those are the kind of scenarios that I'm hoping to have a thorough representation to bring back to the fees and fines discussion is right now they're interested in how can we make this better. And for SPL, I go, well, I got, here's my laundry list, my litany, but I don't want it to be, this is just what Spokane needs, right?
Well,
So.
it sounds like when I don't do my homework over the next month, I will fully support you in your description of the scenarios, and that would work for us as well.
Okay, awesome.
Our process can't really be called a process in any meaningful use of the term. We do not use the software as designed. It's excruciating exchange of emails and whatnot. I mapped out a blue sky claims loss that doesn't include the entire billing process, and it's in a flowchart. How do I share a document on here, man? Do I have to, I mean, there's like a docs link, but it wants me to sign in. Do I need to sign in, or
You
should
could
I share it
share,
somewhere else?
you could just share it in the
Okay.
chat window and share a link there if you want
Can
to.
I?
I hope
I
so.
don't have a link. I mean, like
Oh, gotcha.
it's a document.
I gotcha.
Where how can, I was looking at the Google Drive, but I'm not seeing a folder for wherever that spreadsheet is at.
The one shared here, the one from the PubLib.
Yeah, I'm looking at my shared with me, and I'm not
Went
seeing it.
ahead and
Hold
threw it
on,
in the chat window
let
for
me
this
look at
one, Nathan.
that. Actually, let me grab this and open it in Chrome. Copy link, because I'm actually logged in on Chrome. Okay, so yeah, where is the fold? Is yeah, I wanted to actually get. Is there a folder I can actually view?
Oh, get to from here?
Right, yeah.
Oh, I think I just shared this document in and of
Right.
itself.
Okay. I was just trying to find a place to upload something.
Oh, gotcha. I gotcha. Let me see. Boo-boo-boo. I can provide that in the chat.
Yeah.
We got that here. Do do do. Because I do have a drive location for this, thankfully. In PubLib SIG. All right. So here's a link for you, David, once I share. Do do do. Let me know if you can upload from that one.
Yeah, let me try that. Oh, and I
Beauty.
need to just do this from Chrome where I'm already logged in. I actually, you might think I'm crazy. I actually tend to work in Edge because
Continue.
of the Office integrations.
I can either confirm or deny my browser preferences.
Yeah. And let me upload this. Oh. Oh my gosh.
It won't let me upload. Here, I'm just going to share my screen and we'll figure this out later. Okay, sounds great.
Yeah, so this was what I kind of mapped out because they're asking us how our current claims return process worked, and it's It is a train wreck and I can't make them fix it. But this is kind of the flow.
Are you sharing? I don't see your screen, David.
Oh, I have to go click twice.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, so yeah, the process that I mapped out, I talked with our circulation manager and a couple of other departmental managers and ran this by everybody, and everybody seemed like to agree this would be what we'd like to see. So the idea is that a patron claims it's lost via staff or via some online means, and these are the basically each one of these processes, you know, these are sort of sub processes that are initiated by each one of these processes. And you get through the staff entering the claim, auto reporting process with email notifications, the actual search, whether or not they have found it. And if they find it, the item is checked in. If it's not, we go through the next decision. Use the word concedes, and I concede that
Yeah.
it's lost, but I think
Right.
I actually really, really, really must change that. If so, then it's billed. So within each step, then we're actually looking for the cert transaction key to be marked because it to be a remote key so that you know that what actual checkout this search is regarding, right?
Sure.
It marks it claims return and marks it a time and date that it was the number of searches performed, an auto incrementing number that's a configurable limit so that it's, you know, if it's not found in X tries, then it no longer no
Right.
basically goes ahead and actually just bills it, right?
Yeah.
Actually, that should be a different need to
Slightly
rethink
different
that.
flow.
Yeah. Number this is 2020, like middle of the pandemic that I created this. So,
So this is really similar to our workflow, and but the one thing I don't see represented here is what happens to the fee and fine during this time. Can the patron pay that, or do they have to come in and concede, as your document says, or
I think that it's applied when it's billed.
oh, okay, so this is pre-billed claimed returned.
Right.
Okay, so I'd
What
be
I was saying,
interested to see.
this only includes the actual process for the search.
Gotcha. Because I'd be interested to see when the item has been billed, right? Most of our patrons, they think they returned it, right? They threw it in the bin or the automated return.
Oh,
And
right. When
so,
it's billed and they claim it's returned after
what do
it's
you
been
do?
billed.
You got it. That's the part that is most important for the discussion with
Okay.
the fee fines product owner. Because
Let's
this looks, I
see.
mean, the only difference between what you have here is we don't have a search for it X amount of times. We just have a 1 year. We're going to search for it for 1 year, and then we're going to move it back into that it's billed and overdue.
Right. So basically, I just need to have a different flow in there as to whether it's already billed or not.
Yeah.
You know, already billed, yes or no.
And then
And
what do you do with that? What happens to that fee fine? Is it discoverable in the OPAC? Right? That's, is it visible to the patron that there's still a problem with this loan that you had that
yeah,
needs
and
to
see,
be resolved?
that's generally going to be coming from your item status, depending on what that's called in the system you're dealing with, you know, whether it's checked out on shelf, billed, lost, you know, missing, damaged. Generally, you're gonna suppress materials that are not available because of the status of it
Sure.
before it actually gets removed.
But does it show up in the patron if I log into my account on your catalog? Does that fee fine still, even though
Yes.
I declared it lost or claimed returned, I'm sorry. I
Yeah,
declared it claimed returned,
it's
does it still
probably
show
gonna
up?
it's you're probably gonna have a bill and the item status is probably gonna be claims returned, which again, that's a status kind of like billed.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I'm going to have to actually work the already build scenario in there, which is going to, well, shift some things around
Yeah.
to figure out
So,
whether I need to actually include the build question at the beginning or the end. I'm probably actually going to have to move the question build after patron claims item lost and actually fork it a little bit from there.
okay.
Interesting.
So,
Okay, cool.
yeah, that's why I wanted to
Again.
give you guys a month of time to do some recon before saying, hey, this weekend we're gonna talk all about this. Because there is some nuanced details that you guys probably have to research.
I
Well,
can't believe that's
and
over
like
5 years
I said,
ago.
yeah,
I probably won't be doing the research or the homework.
hey, full disclosure,
But
I appreciate it.
yeah, so the one thing you mentioned in your process that I would view as a hitch for us would be that in your current process is not, I would prefer to leave it up to the patron. If the patron just wants to go ahead and take care of it, make sure that they have the avenue to take care of it. The problem there becomes like, how do you signal like, hey, it's really on our, it's on us right now. How do you signal like it is on us right now, but if you want to just make this go away because you want to be living in one of the wealthiest counties,
Right.
like
Right.
feel
So,
free. Are we talking about doing a refund if they find the item and return it?
oh, that's a good point.
Refunds, yeah, refunds are
Yeah.
their own mess for
Yes,
us.
they are. I don't want to talk about refunds. Nobody wants to talk about refunds. We just pretend that refunds don't exist. So that's our
Y'all,
solution.
tangentially related, do y'all do fines or are y'all fine
Just
free?
do lost item fees. Yeah, no fines, no overdues, no nothing.
Cool. Yeah, we finally flipped a couple of years ago, so.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, and
So
how is that managed when most of your, when so much of your circulation is delivery to home
yeah.
and loss can happen in transit? Anyway, It doesn't okay.
happen really that much.
Okay, awesome. That's cool. That's all I needed to know.
Somehow,
Yeah.
yeah, we
our loss in transit is not significant enough to warrant
They have a
that,
strong
yeah.
chain of custody, apparently. But
Well, I mean,
I.
we have an independent, a quasi-independent courier, meaning they were sort of put in business by the Orange County Library System in the 70s, and they have been operating with us as their sole customer since then.
Oh, gotcha.
A little history piece. It's because of the oil crunch, actually. That's why we started delivering in the 1970s. When it was a largely agrarian county, a large agricultural county.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, Pep is the name of the courier, and we have little special bags, and they when a somebody has like a more one or more issues, then we actually have a process for them to pick up.
Gotcha.
So if there's a pattern of items missing from your doorstep because of your neighborhood, or we can't get in because it's gated and you can't supply a gate code, then we have a process still built into the delivery process, but they go to the branch for pickup. And it's much more personalized. We call or email or text the people individually, let them know it's there. So there's no hold shelf. It's just checked out to them sitting at the branch.
So you're telling me that Amazon modeled their delivery system off of Orange County Library.
I have been saying that we need to use some analytics tools and find the Amazon users that actually read books in Orange County and market to them.
That is
But
brilliant. Yeah, we did do
that would be hilarious, taking back Amazon like
I
from
know,
the
man.
roots that it grew from.
Right, exactly. That's well, we're old enough that we can all say, well, I remember Amazon when it only sold books, right? And Facebook was only for students. I had the glorious days of the early internet.
Oh, that wasn't the early
Right,
internet. Yeah,
early
no,
internet. I
right?
mean, I
You
guess it was 10 years old by
whippersnapper.
then, right? That's true. That's true.
I'll bring up the tears in the rain monologue again.
Right. Yeah.
I
Right.
remember Gopher.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Going for live when it was in L.A. Eric Hellman locked me into one of the buildings where one of the original ARPANET. Hold on just a second. I'm gonna go off for a second.
Okay. Wow. On that note, if we can, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen now. And I want to talk about our Moscow, our example features for the gap analysis. And some good news in that. Let me go ahead and share my screen when I can find the right one to share and share. Tell me if you can see the screen. I think it's there. Yeah. We worked on this offline and were able to identify a number of fully and partially implemented features. So I'm going to immediately filter this list and remove those things that are fully featured, which shortens it up quite a bit. And then we can just start off from option number one of or down the line here of what must we have, won't, can't have, should have, so on and so forth. But just continue to work through these. Again, thankfully, my staff was able were able to devote some time to find those things which were already supported to make our must-haves much easier. On another note, and I'm sad that they weren't able to join us today. We have some public libraries, about 30 of them, public libraries in Australia, who are interested in
Oh.
Folio as well. And we reached out and had a meeting with them, and they might start, they intend to start joining this SIG meeting as well. Particularly, they were very grateful for the gap analysis document in its current form, and they would like to contribute to these are our must-haves for a go live as well and get those fleshed out with details. So,
I wanted to go back and actually, I think I'd said something before, but I'll put it up there again. I wonder if we should delete column C because that was our analysis in like 2018, 2019, right? For our very particular public library. And I have a copy of our document, right? But I don't want that to unduly influence anybody else's,
sure.
response. Oh, well, that's a definitely a must have. Is it? I don't
Right.
know. We found things in there that are like, is this even relevant anymore? Like notifications. We don't even
Yeah.
we're not doing we're not going to use Folio as a notification system.
Right. And most
If we
people
use it at
don't.
all, we're not going to use it as a notification. It doesn't make sense, right?
Yes.
The tools have changed. The whole marketplace has changed.
Yeah.
So.
And most institutions do not use Folio's built-in notification system to that end.
Right, because it's so it can get so specific to your institution that
As
we
a
used to build our own stuff out with PHP, but we're actually using Innovative Zelek Starter right now, and we could go to some other product later,
As a matter of fact, this is one of the this is a worthwhile discussion on Folio, as discussed in our previous meeting here. WolfCon, a lot of the discussion was about community-driven development framework, in that how do we develop features that everybody wants and actually needs. And this kind of reared its ugly head last year. In Ramsen's Library of Congress paid for the user's app to have a field added for communication preference. And for me, I think, oh, communication preference is like, do they want email? Do they want text messages or phone or whatever? And I thought, oh, well, this makes perfect sense to me. to add that. So they add this in Ramsons, and then what it was actually for was setting a list of, do they want to be in marketing? Do they want to be notified of upcoming events? Do they want basically what you would use PatronPoint or any other
Right.
third-party aggregate notification system for? They tried to build it into Folio. And so after all of that, it's being removed in Sunflower. So the very next version of Folio, they paid to put it in there, and now we're paying to pull it out. And it's one of those of a perfect example of, well, we must have communication preferences in our ILS. And so pay for a
See, I
feature
hate that they
only to
took it out. I
realize
mean,
this is silly.
it seems like not a terrible idea to store their preference in there,
Sure. But then
even
you're
if you're not
syncing,
using it, right?
right? But
Like,
then there's required to sync that between, you're in patron point and I'm a patron. I go, you know what? I don't want to hear about events anymore. Like that has to, there has to be some kind of
Right,
hook to
okay,
send that
because
back into
PatronPoint is
Folio.
using one of is using a third party marketing system. I forgot what it's called. Okay, yeah,
Yeah.
because they are managing that in there.
So that's what happens sometimes when you go in, like you said, this column C that was there is having undue influence on, well, we must have this feature. My job, what I like to do, is to find features that people don't know they want and then tell them that they want them. So one of the a big feature that I know my patrons want is the ability to suspend your requests. You're about to go on vacation, and that's
Yeah, freezing.
immediately when all of my holds become available. I've been waiting for 8 months, and they all become available as I step onto the airplane. So the ability to pause or suspend holds slash requests is a feature that's currently in development. But a year ago and change, I brought it up. When I was in London, I said, this is what everybody wants. And so that finally got the traction under it. People didn't know that they want that until, it was shoved right
Yeah.
in their face. So, as we go through some of these, I even think to myself, oh, you know what? I didn't know I wanted that. But now I do. Thank you, David, for having put this together in 2016. Or maybe it's already partially, implemented. So, this row 12, if we're just going to go through this real quick, material search results, staff can retrieve a current borrower, previous borrowers, circulation statistics, and order information from an item search result. So this is partially supported. It was note, I, this is a must, I think, for any organization. We do have statistical tools for it, although there are some feature enhancements coming to Folio to where that recent either item history or user history changes to their account is going to be represented in the UI itself. So that is something that is coming. Enough people have expressed interest about it. Override, staff prompted to override with actions, and they do not have permission login. This is not supported. So this scenario, a patron wants to override for, or a staff member is overriding to check out an item for a patron. It would basically prompt for elevation. A
Right.
manager, you'd say, man, manager has to come out. What is the must, should, could have for this feature from your institutions?
Oh, that's, I think it's a must.
You think it's a must?
Yeah.
How often do you guys deal with that on a daily basis? For us, we seldom have
we try
overrides.
to go above and beyond for the patron, right? So it's we're gonna override holds for very specific patron circumstances, we're gonna override circulation for kids for hardship. It's so case by case, but it is absolutely something that we do use.
Gotcha. If Yeah, so
I'm
this
actually
is.
surprised that's something not in there.
So we do have for admin. We do have there is an override function and a separate permission that you can assign. Say Joey Malloy has permissions to handle overrides, but there isn't a prompt for escalation. Right. So there isn't a
Right.
way to say in the UI that says this requires authorization from your manager. There isn't that behavior. So.
Yeah, it's in Sierra, it doesn't show up like it just shows up as a, how do I put this? Well, you don't have the permission, and then there's an override button.
And then that
So
override button, does that then prompt for?
yeah, that's when you get the
Manager.
credential, the prompts for the credentials.
Gotcha. And then I see. Okay. So that is something that yeah, that would be I think that that would be a worthwhile feature. Let me see. Circulation number row 23. Patron blocks. The system provides a single screen display of all blocks associated with a patron record at checkout. That includes available holds, overdue materials, lost materials. This is partially supported, and this is, yeah, it does show blocks, but it doesn't show what they are. So it's an extra, it's one click, and then it takes you directly to the user app to show what those blocks are. So while it's a must-have, it's also implemented in such a way that all the quick glance information is there, and then it's one click to go see what those restrictions are.
Yeah, I think that that was a that was kind of like a blue sky thing, because we don't currently have all that information in any kind of modal that like pops up and tells you why they're being blocked.
So I on number 24. Patron lookup, patron staff can receive patron record by barcode, name, address, phone number, email address, date of birth, driver's license number, username, parent guardian, and so on. Currently, barcode, name, email address, and username is supported. I put a note of should because I'm wondering how much.
Oh, we don't even, yeah, like we actually don't even use the driver's license anymore. We were told by the insurance company that we should not be storing that in any of our databases.
Yeah.
So that's gone. Date of birth, for example, that's just something somebody added. I don't necessarily it'd be a nice filter. It's kind of like it's a must and partially is acceptable, because barcode, name, email, address, and username are all perfectly acceptable. You know, any kind of additional filtering would be super helpful.
Perfect. And this is for 27, certainly allowed. Oh, helps if I spell that correctly. Let me see. And then number 20 is patron records. System allows for additional messages to be added to the original message so that narrative can be read in its entirety.
Yeah, the idea was like it currently there's this like each message like pops up, and it'd be nice to actually just see sort of like a digest of messages associated with the patron's account when it gets brought up.
Gotcha. So we do there is I think this is partially supported in the edit notes block. If snapshot can log into snapshot, I'm pretty sure that this is satisfied in Folio's current
Cool.
implementation. I just want to get to the users app. Oh, which has been rearranged. That's a new feature
Oh,
that you can rearrange these however you want. So someone went in and practiced in this environment, probably with this account that I'm about to mess with. So yeah, in the notes here, I have a general note title. And then
Oh, wow. Rich text. That's great.
you can also force it to do a pop-up. So now when we go into this user, it pops up here. In the same way that if we go into the checkout, and that user doesn't exist, because they don't have a barcode, but it does pop up there. So it would do the same thing when you go to checkout for this customer. So I think that we can say this is that the current implementation is acceptable for this.
And that in time date order thing, that was actually really important. That was actually something that was going to be in WISE. The real tragedy of all this is that in spite of everything that was wrong with it, the patron data architecture was great.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and what you'd like to see there is the information, some kind of timestamp that the staff doesn't have to put in, right?
Yeah.
So it's uniform,
Yep. Yes.
Maybe even the login that applied it. This is getting into bordering on the CRM,
Yep.
functionality that we actually really need to have for in public libraries.
Yeah. So one of the, when we first started developing our Folio application, we have one that we've developed for tracking incidences that we built in Folio. The one we're working on now is for tracking new material requests or patron-driven acquisition, replacement requests, stuff like that, surfacing it on ViewFind for patron interaction. One of our goals, our big goals, is actually to build a full CRM app in Folio that connects to PatronPoint, that connects to Itiva for notices, that connects to patron circulation history and PatronPoint preferences, and to build one, a constant contact dashboard of here's Joey Malloy, here's his circulation preferences, here's his, here's how effective our marketing strategy has been for young adult fiction because that's all his daughter wants to read right now. We can market, to him in these specific ways. And so that is something that Spokane would has we have dreamt about for the past 5 years. And so all of our app development that we've been doing has been a stepping stone towards how can we do this right and do it well, for other libraries to take advantage of.
Right. It'd be nice to see a timestamp log,
Yes.
even if it's assembled not in this interface,
Yes.
of what's gone on with the patron, their,
Yep.
checkouts that gets anonymized after some period of time, right? But some basic information about the materials and like when they've contacted the library,
Sure.
support contacts so our telephone support staff can notate the account that they called in with a concern about, they lost a book, right?
Right. Exactly. They declared it, they claimed that it was returned. So in this case, when we're talking about notes here, the most that you can get is the metadata of when it was created and when it was updated. And
Okay, well,
so,
that's good. That's helpful. That's a
and who
start.
updated it and who updated it. But you can't get like a long running thread. It's only going to be the latest and the first. So, without, additional timestamp. The other is that I wanted to define patron record messages. These are not exchanges between the patron. This is just a staff note on the user record. Is that an accurate description of what is put here?
System. Yeah, these are
Okay.
staff notes.
Perfect. Awesome. Additional logging would be a win. All right. So I'll make myself a little to-do on that. And then print check-in receipt. This is not supported in the application. And then checkout receipt. We've
Yeah, I feel
discussed before.
like we discussed, man, printing, I think, is a big problem. I
Yes.
think that's one of the biggest hurdles I think we're gonna actually oddly gonna see
I
is
think,
support for printing.
and one of the things I think is kind of funny is that I find that a lot of web-based iOS clients have a problem with printing,
Right.
and so for both of those, I can tell you that 98% of our circulation takes place on a self-check or an automated return, which does print the receipt, obviously.
And yet we have those patrons.
And yet we have those patrons.
And
And we love them,
they
is what you were going to say, right, David? We love those patrons.
they drive our a lot of policy, oddly,
They do.
you
They
know.
do. Yep. And we love them. Thank you for voting yes. So, on that note, this is a must. And then I do believe that this would be, well,
Yeah, those are
at,
both must. I mean,
yeah.
we have to have them. There's just, I there are very few public libraries that are going to say that'd be, you know, that's a should have or something.
Okay. And
But I
then
mean, that is one area where I just feel there's enough public libraries to pull resources together and make that happen.
I will check the JIRA because I feel as though we're not the first institution that's asked for that.
Right.
And then we'll represent. As a matter of fact, I probably already have it on the gap analysis.
You did actually, but
Yeah.
it was broken into the separate little like components, and I was just like thinking like, you know, printing support.
Sure, yeah, like all together. Does it print? No. Although there is a feature that's got, so work is being done to accommodate these scenarios. One feature that again probably isn't represented here yet is a checkout. There's a checkout override. Is an all items out receipt. So in the later versions of Folio, it might be in Snapshot. If they had loans, you could print the loan that were currently out. That was a feature that is coming. So for a user who has active loans, you'd be able to go to the loan screen and print out their current checked out and their due dates and so on. And so there is work being done for how do we make Folio more useful for paper printing libraries. So good news in that respect. So, oh look, checks item out, staff renew a single item or multiple selected item. This is partially you can renew single or multiple items users in the users app, but then you check out and check in have links taking you back to the user's app. So there isn't a can renew single or multiple items in the user's app. That is supported. But then to check out and check in, those will take you to the user's app and vice versa. So I think that this current implementation does satisfy this. While it is a must, there is a way to do this. And you checked out items. Yep.
Trying to remember if we have print to email as.
Staff can renew.
Receipt option system provides option for print email SMS receipts. Okay, cool. I just want to
Gotcha.
make sure that was actually in the document, and it is.
And Folio does support emailing receipts.
Right.
Like, right out of the box. We do not use those. Full disclosure.
Oh, really? Why?
Because we don't like the look and feel as
Oh,
opposed to what they're typically getting in something like Patron
it's
Point.
the formatting of the content.
Correct. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And generally speaking, when again, this is how the world has changed, David. I told you 90% of our checkout is happening on a self-check. The self-checks send the email receipt from there.
Right. Yeah. We do not have those configured and could, but we don't.
Yeah, so we choose
But
to use that
but I'll tell
as
you what,
opposed.
that goes back to some preferences that might ought to be in. So let's say you have multiple platforms that you send notifications from, just as you do with receipts, right? Like, I would almost think that should be now getting SIP to support, that's another question. Right. Yeah, I'm thinking out loud here. Sorry.
That's
There's no
okay.
way. I cannot. There is almost no way to get SIP to look at somebody's receipt preferences, and it would have to ask.
Actually, it's funny you should say that. So I developed our own SIP module that in Golang. And right now I have it running in test mode with Itiva. And one of the things that I built into that SIP software is the ability to map custom fields in Folio on custom fields on the user record. So if you create a custom field called receipt preferences, then you can add your own field and call it, BB or RP in that, and then it will send it along in the SIP message, and you just have to tell the vendor, "Hey, RP means receipt preference."
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we built that because we built a custom SIP module that with Java, but was very hard coded to be the ISBN or the UPC code of the item would be sent along with the SIP message. And I said, well, I want this and this and this. And I started listing all these other things. And my developer was, well, we can do that, but it's in Java and it's going to take us, 5 years. And so while I represented it in Jira's to the community, I thought, you know what? I think I could build this in Go pretty quick. And so I just built my own. Right now it's in testing, but I'm going to make it available in a public Git repo when as I get close to being done with it. So I'm going to have it go under code review from our partners at IndexedData. They have some Golang specialists there that are going to do code review for me. So when you say SIP will never, let me put a pause, put a pin in that right there, because Spokane has made SIP ever do that. So that's another little fun thing that with Folio, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want, except for print receipts. So, too bad.
Speaking of go,
Yeah.
I gotta,
Oh, you
and
gotta go.
yeah,
Oh, yeah,
and
it is
just
the
to
top of the
know,
hour.
I happen to be in a branch with our head security guy who monitors the weather, and he said, yeah, chances are things are going to get better for you, and things will almost undoubtedly get worse for us. So
Okay. Well, in that case, why don't we stop here at 3 minutes to the hour and you can go run and get some groceries?
there's a grocery store next door. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
I need
Yeah.
gas, generator
Yeah, go
gas.
get some fuel and some groceries.
I'm telling you, man, dude, these trees come down here a year and a half after Helene, man. Yeah, we're losing power.
I'm sorry.
Yep, y'all have a good one, man.
All right, cheers. Thank you,
Be good.
everybody. We'll see you
Bye-bye.
next month.
And here's the part where I figure out how to leave. There we
Okay,
go.
I'll just cancel it.